Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with retired Army General Paul Valley. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. And, of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. Okay, it's a pleasure to introduce retired U.S. Army Major General, retired Paul Valley. Besides a full career and being a senior military analyst for Fox News, he's presently active with a group of senior officers working to get our service academies, especially West Point, back on track. He's working on a lot of things, and what I like about it is that he's focused on solutions, not talking about stuff. He graduated from West Point in 1961. I'm a member of the class of 64, so he likely yelled at me a few times before today. Anyway, welcome to the show, General.
Well, thank you, Denny. It's great to be with you, and I love what you're doing. I think that's great. And maybe we did run across each other. Who knows?
Probably. If it did, I was standing at attention, sucking my chin in.
Yeah, there you go.
Start by telling us about your time in Mother Army. Why did you go to West Point? Give us a quick review of your service.
Well, I came out of a small town in Pennsylvania, and I was trying to get a football scholarship at Penn State and basketball scholarship at Villanova, and we didn't have much money. So I put in for all the academies, and I got accepted at Michigan in aeronautical engineering, and at the same time, about a week later, I got a letter from Washington, D.C. Now, I was only out of high school for about a month. But I got this letter from Washington, and I was accepted to West Point. So I took it and showed up there at West Point on July 2nd, 1957.
You know, isn't it amazing how life changes direction in a major way, sort of almost by accident?
Well, it is. You know, sometimes it's the old Robert Frost poem, A Road Not Taken, that least traveled by, and so maybe that's why I choose the road to West Point, but I'm happy I did, and I had a great 32-year career in infantry. In my last 15-20 years, I was really focused on special operations, and my last job was Deputy Commander U.S. Army Pacific.
Okay. There's a lot of things going on right now. Since I've been talking about West Point, let's start there. The surface academies in general, and certainly West Point, is not focused the way it was when we were cadets. It doesn't seem to be focused on building leaders. It seems to be more interested in being politically correct. Is that an overstatement?
No, it's exactly right. We have a number of what we call woke generals and admirals today. They're an embarrassment, these four stars, General Gordon Austin, Secretary of Defense, General Milley. I consider him a traitor. He should be tried for being one, but they're totally inept. General Patton would turn over in his grave. But how this all started, I nominated a young man to West Point from Montana. And so he got there, and I started getting some feedback from him through his father and so on, that they were demanding these vaccines for the cadets, and that they started indoctrinating them on this CRT, critical race theory, and other things. And the way they treated him because he wouldn't get vaccinated was unbelievable. It was like being in a gulag up there. And so he finally left, and then three or four more cadets resigned, and then 15 to 20. Then we started getting feedback from the Air Force Academy. Lieutenant General Rod Bishop, who heads up an organization called StarsUS.net, and basically, we started getting feedback also from some of the midshipmen at Annapolis of what was going on in the left-wing ideologues on the faculties at these institutions pushing this critical race theory crap. And so anyhow, General McInerney, I, and Colonel Andy O'Mara, they were a class of 59. We wrote a letter to the superintendent of West Point and to the Association of Graduates. And we wanted answers because we felt they were getting away from the traditions of the long gray line at West Point and were way off base. Well, that started a whole eruption at West Point, where we had FOIA requests going in demanding from the commandant, the cadets, what was going on at the academies, that they're getting away from skill training, and they're actually from these left-wing liberal professors that West Point brought in back in the 80s, started to affect the education at West Point. And then we found out a number of these cadets with wanted religious exemptions on the vaccine. So the whole thing now is risen to the point where we're still on the offensive, challenging the academies to get back on track, start teaching tactics and strategy, and groom these young warriors and officers for serving and protecting the country, because of the enormous threats we have now, external and internal in the United States. So we're still forcing that now. We're working on it. We still raise money for legal representation for the cadets if they need it in these suits. And we have almost 10 suits have been very successful now against the academies.
That's awesome, because we need to. I've heard so much. You probably heard more, but the critical race theory, athletes are treated differently than other cadets.
That's correct.
The honor code has been modified. I mean, how correct. Do you prepare people for combat, for leadership, if their honor code isn't even held? I suppose we could talk about this for 2 or 3 hours, but it's a safe assumption, I think, to say that it's a mess and it needs to get unscrewed up, and that's going to take a major change in leadership at the Absolutely. General officer level and above.
We're looking at solutions. I would look for a young major general. I would fire every 4-star and 3-star. I would start with a young major general that can take over and get the military turned around and be warriors again, be patriots again, abiding by their oath. But it's going to take time. We've got to change the White House. We've got to change the people we have in charge of the United States right now. And it's a major failure. And I mean, I'm chairman of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. We've just published 3 books, by the way, America's Endgame for the 21st Century, Blueprint for Restoring America and the Constitution. And the second book really is a great one. I based it on my meeting with General al-Sisi in Cairo, Egypt, when he asked me, why does America always make its political decisions looking through a political prism rather than through a reality prism? And so the second book is called The Reality Prism. And then the third is about information warfare against the people of the United States that they're launching. And we call that The Mindless War. And they're all available, of course, on Amazon. But we really outlined what the fascist communists are doing in the country. Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Council, the great reset that's going on with the financial, major financial structure in the world. We're looking at a financial collapse globally right now. We look at an out of control border. We sent it from the foundation, a plan to the Defense Department. Now listen to this, Dave. Cartels, okay, over 4 million illegals coming across the border and provided with incentives from the cartels. Fentanyl killing over 150,000 of our youth in the last 14 months. Human trafficking, sex trafficking. And yet they consider a Department of Homeland Security problem. It is a national security problem, and the Defense Department needs to have a plan. I know General McInerney and General Boykin and I, we could take down the cartels in 7 days with a special ops mission, but they won't do it. They have no plan to, Denny. No plan to take out the cartels and all the damage. We've lost more people than we've lost in the Middle East over 20 years, for example.
It's pretty clear that we are at war. We are paying all the prices. We have people dying. It's costing us financially. But for some reason, we're pretending that we're not at war. There's more to discuss about this mess, and General Valley is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. General Valley and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health, and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with General Paul Valley. General, there's so much that we could be talking about. And one of the points that you touched, and I really like the way you put it, and that was everybody calls everybody a fascist, but there are some real fascists in America, and they are really hurting us, aren't they?
Well, they really are. And of course, you can see how the Democratic Party now is the Democratic Socialist Communist Party of the United States. They've completely moved to the left ideology and following the communist manifesto by tyrannical control over the populations, control over the media. But, you know, Denny, I talk to a lot of educated Americans, and they can't connect the dots yet of what's really going on. That's why we've gone to a solutions mode, and that's we're coming up with solutions to solve these problems. But they've been able to combine communism and fascism, and then with a little bit of capitalism to support what they want to do. So we've never seen this in our history before. Communist, fascist, and capitalism all rolled into one. And Wall Street's just as guilty. BlackRock, for example, Vanguard, State, these mammoth financial institutions that are forging ahead and supporting this woke tech, wokeism and so on. And also keeping aligned and feeding off of the Communist Chinese Party. They can't cut ties with them at all. And so you have a president that we've called the Manchurian president, Joe Biden. He happens to be clueless, but he's politicized and militarized the FBI, the Department of Justice. So, America, wake up. We got to stand up and do something about this. This is how serious it is. Yeah. And we're not sure the elections are going to go down as they think. We know the Democrats will do everything they can to cheat again, just like they did in 2020.
Yes. And it, obviously, the other side is pretty good at putting together an effective techniques and stepping out and getting them moving. But we're just sitting there with our thumbs in our mouths, I guess. I am very concerned that the most we get out of most people is whining. What we need is organizations, Stand Up America, others that help people do something. Because there's a lot to be done.
Well, I'll give you an example. Back in 2017, I was in Moscow, and I was talking there on a Middle East conference, invited by the senior ambassador for Putin to the Middle East, Mikhail Bogdanov. But anyhow, while I was there, I was asked to meet with him. And at that meeting in March of 2017, I set up the first meeting between Putin and Trump. Now, since that time, we've seen what's happened since 2014 in Ukraine up until today. One of the most corrupt countries in the world was Ukraine. A lot of things going on over there. But yet, with what they had, they call the Minsk Agreement. They could have settled this with Putin then, but NATO kept forcing Ukraine on Putin. We're going to make it a NATO nation. Then Biden got behind that. And then you had the Hunter Biden scandal in Ukraine. But if President Trump was in charge, he would have negotiated with Putin and put an end to this. There wouldn't have been this war that's going on right now. And here we are feeding billions of dollars into Ukraine, much of it going into pockets unknown, just like we saw in Iraq and Afghanistan. But yet Putin's annexed basically the four eastern provinces of Ukraine. They had a vote. The Ukrainians in those areas voted 90% plus to join Russia. How honest the elections were, I don't know, but they did vote, and they're now annexed. And now we're on the verge of a nuclear war over there. I don't think Putin will use nuclear weapons, but Biden, with his loud mouth and bannering, you know, has almost encouraged Russia to take a strong position. But here's a situation that should have never happened. If we had people like Trump and others that can negotiate, this would have never occurred. But that's the situation we're in right now.
And what a mess. And we seem to have walked ourselves into it by ourselves. And that's not to say that I don't think we shouldn't have been looking at helping the people in Ukraine, but that's different than just throwing money at them. Do you think we'd have learned not to do that by now, wouldn't you?
No, we haven't. And I've gotten reports from Europe through a couple of the intel operatives we have over there that Putin won't use nuclear weapons, but he's going to make sure that Zelensky is removed and that they have a new government in Ukraine. I think that's what he's looking for right now. But, you know, having been in psychological operations as well, you got to get in the minds of people. And we've never gotten in the minds of Putin, where he's coming from. And he's not an idiot. He's not crazy. He knows exactly what he's going to do and what he wants to do. And he'll accomplish that. And yet we have a bunch of bungling idiots in our State Department. The CIA hasn't come out with an accurate intel report in the last 20-some years that I know of. But we're in bad shape. But America's got to be awakened this year. We got to get back on track. We have these young mothers now that are challenging the school boards, that's just great. In fact, the women seem to have more cojones than the guys do out there for some reason. We're not making warriors anymore either. I mean, we're the general warriors, the admiral warriors. We're the Marine warriors. I got an email from a Marine colonel. He's totally embarrassed by the Marine generals today.
Yes. So, I have a friend who has a son who's an Army colonel, who's told he's in the zone for brigadier general. He's not sure he wants to be one because he doesn't know a general he respects. That's where we are. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Paul Valley. Paul, we've got a couple of minutes left. Hit the high points that you want our listeners to be sure to take from our conversation today.
Well, I think number one, connect the dots of what's going on. You can read our three books that I said are on Amazon. They outline a blueprint for victory. For restoring America, but get awake and understand what's going on down at the county level. And yes, make sure you vote in November, but we have to be brave now. We have to be strong. We have to set the example. We have to put leaders back in our government again that can lead us down a positive track rather than a negative track. And so that would be my clarion call to everybody. Stand up, be brave, and we'll get this country back and restore it.
Well, for sure. Take a minute now and talk about Stand Up America. You mentioned that it exists. Sure. What is it? How does it work? How can people plug in?
Well, back in 2006, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, class of 59, and I formed the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. Basically, we're a foundation. We raise money from all over the country to support our efforts. We basically we do events. We publish. We have a newsletter that comes out every Saturday morning. If you send us your email, we'll make sure you get on that newsletter list. We do studies. We do events, do overseas operations. And so we do a number of things at the foundation. But if you go to standupamericaus.org, standupamericaus.org, don't go to Stand Up America because George Soros formed that organization in 2015 to counter what I was doing. So we're Stand Up America US, standupamericaus.org. Join our foundation, help us out. We're doing great things, and we're all for America and all for our Constitution.
General Valley, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation when you were in uniform, but thank you for what you're doing now. We need people like you that will say things like they are, stop trying to be nice, and try to be blunt so we can get our country back on track. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate it. We'll do it again.
Yes, sir. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
From ending our nation's endless wars to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it is football season, and it is time for football co-host Quentin Roberts and I to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Well, it was only one, and Navy didn't do that well, but really they didn't do that badly either, was it, Quentin?
Well, hey, it was anchors away for senior day for the midshipmen as they were able to pull out an overtime, a tough fought victory against Temple, 27-20. So Navy moved to 3-5 on the season, 3-3 in the conference, while Temple dropped to 2-6 on the season and 0-4 in the conference. It was Annapolis, Maryland, where junior backup quarterback Xavier Arline scored on a 23-yard touchdown run in overtime. And sophomore cornerback Deshaun Peel intercepted quarterback E.J. Warner in the end zone to seal the victory in overtime. As I said, 27-20 on senior day in front of 31,141 fans at the famed Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. It was Arline who entered the game in the first quarter because Ty Lavatai went down with an injury. Hopefully it's not going to be a season-ending injury, but it does look like it's going to be pretty severe. Arline finished the day with 54 yards rushing on 16 carries. Now, that's not going to win you a Heisman, but it was good enough to win this game. Peel, who had just played in two games before today, also was forced into action due to injuries in the Navy's secondary and made several big plays, including his first career sack and a pass breakup on Temple's final drive of regulation and another one on third down in overtime before sealing the win on that play with the interception of Warner in the end zone. Coach Neil Matalolo said after the game, "I'm proud of our kids, happy for our seniors. It was a hard-fought win, give Temple credit, those guys battled. Ty going down kicked us in the gut a little bit. When one of our guys has a season-ending injury, it impacts us." X, meaning Xavier Arline, came in and did some good things. Defense did some good things early on, got some stops at the end. Happy for the win. It's hard to win. And Coach Neil Matalolo would know that this year because, of course, Navy has struggled. But every time they have gotten on the field, I've seen strides, Denny. They are picking it up. When we look at the tail of the tape, it was Temple who actually outgained Navy totally in total offense, 288 to Navy's 224 yards. On the ground, however, was the midshipmen who ran for over 200 yards, 224 yards to Temple's only 20. The Navy defense held them to 20 yards rushing. That was one of the keys to the game. When we look at the scoring early on, it was all Navy. They jumped out 13-0 in the first quarter before Temple was able to add a field goal going into halftime and where the score was 13-3. In the third quarter, the game got a little tighter as Temple scored a touchdown to bring it to 13-10. Navy scored a touchdown to take it to 20-10. And it was the fourth quarter, though, where Temple really rallied, put a touchdown on the board, and added a field goal for the 20-20 tie score at the end of regulation. And in the extra period, it was Xavier Arline with that 23-yard run to score that touchdown for Navy, the winning touchdown. And as I said, Deshaun Peel sealed the victory with an interception in the end zone. Navy moves to 3-5 on the season. and 3-3 in the conference.
I was really proud of Navy. They started out strong. They had that oops, but they sure came back when the chips were down in overtime.
You know, Danny, you have to be able to overcome adversity in these games. And that's just what shows the character of a team like Navy, coached by someone I have a great deal of respect for, Coach Neomata Lolo, who teaches that, you know, again, they've had a tough season. They've had some serious, not really bad losses, but they've just struggled to find that winning formula. But every week they come out and they compete, and they compete hard. And so next week they're going to have their work cut out for them at Cincinnati. But, you know, for this game, it was a well-deserved win for the Middies.
And the coming out, as you described, that's what we want, not just for everybody in life, but we certainly want that for our military. They've got to be able to come out, regardless of what's gone on.
That's right, Danny. And of course, that's why we enjoy watching our Service Academy football team so much, because we know that they, you know, it's more than just football for them. That's not what their careers are going to be really in the long run. And, you know, athletics is one of the pillars of leadership and competition. It really brings out the best in the individuals, you know, on the fields of friendly strife. And so, yes, it is something that we really, you know, that's part of the game. It's part of life, and no better place to learn it than on the gridiron.
Well said it. One of the things I had to memorize as a cadet, upon the fields of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other fields and other days will bring the fruits of victory.
Yes, sir. Very well said, Danny. Very well said.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Quentin Roberts about Service Academy football. Well, this coming week, there's a couple of interesting games. Army's going to beat Air Force, and Navy plays Cincinnati. Oh, by the way, before we get to that, Coast Guard and Merchant Marine.
Well, I think we had some fuzz in the line, Danny. I wasn't sure what you just said there about Army. But getting back to Coast Guard and Merchant Marine Academy, it was the Coast Guard Academy who defeated MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 31-24 to move to 3-5 overall. So congrats to the Coast Guard Bears. The Merchant Marine Academy, not quite so fortunate as they dropped a tough one to Springfield, 27-13. They've now dropped two in a row, and they're 5-3 on the season. So they'll have a bye before they finish up their season with their traditional rivalry, Secretary's Cup game against Coast Guard.
Yes, sir. Now, you touched a little bit about Cincinnati, Navy at Cincinnati. Let's talk about that, and we'll conclude by talking about Army beating Air Force.
Danny, the things keep going fuzzy on my line here, but I think you said we're going to talk about Navy at Cincinnati first. Navy is at Cincinnati. It's going to be a tough game where Cincinnati is favored by 19.5 points. And really, they are a very good team. They're built, you know, next year they're going to be a Power 5 team going into the Big 12 Conference. Last year they were in the college football playoff. And so Coach Luke Fickell has really built a strong team at the University of Cincinnati. But the Navy midshipmen, of course, led by Coach Ken Neomata Lolo, are going to go in there and they are going to give Cincinnati a game. Like I said, they keep pushing buttons. They keep getting better, taking strides. So I expect a very competitive game. It's going to be, they're battling uphill because it's a good game. They're going to have to play clean football, no turnovers, very few penalties, you know, and make some plays. They've got players, and those players are going to just definitely have to make some plays.
Okay, we got just about a minute. Talk about Army versus Air Force.
Army versus Air Force, the Commander's Cup in Dallas, Texas. Air Force is 5-3. Army is 3-5. These teams are, as usual, virtual mirror images of one another. Air Force is favored by 7 as they tout the number one rushing offense, only by 2 yards over Army, 336-334 going into the game. Army is 3-5. It's had a tough year, a little tougher year, but they're still playing good football. Again, very close game. I expect it to be low scoring, hard hitting. I give the edge to Air Force just because their defense has just been a little bit better. And they've had an Army has suffered a negative in the turnover margin over the course of this season. If those two things hold true, it'll be an Air Force victory. And Air Force will claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy the first time since 2016 and will move to 21 Commander-in-Chief's trophies to lead all service academies.
just out of respect for you, Quentin, as a young man who went to the Sky High Academy, I'll just let that go. Brother, thank you. I look forward to our review of that game next week.
As do I, Denny, as do I. And I will be there, and we will sing "Off We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder."
And better say, nothing can stop the Army Air Corps.
There you go.
Thank you, Quentin, for your insights and for being a part of the team. We'll be back next week.
All right. Looking forward to it, Denny.
Beat Air Force.
Beat Army.
Troops, if you're a veteran having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 now? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Sherry, a Navy mom, really liked the interview about China. She'd like to learn more.
Sherry, then you really enjoyed the interview during the first hour of the show when Ambassador Pete Hoekstra told us more about China's efforts to hurt us.
And Susie, a Marine reservist, really liked the interview with the Ukrainians. She'd like to hear more from the Ukrainian people.
Good point, Susie. All we hear is what the media tells us, and we know the mainstream media is not reliable.
Well, okay. Colonel, maybe Frontlines of Freedom should go over to Ukraine and find out the real story.
That's a good idea, Skip. What are you doing next week?
I'm sorry. I should have kept my mouth shut. I'm deer hunting, Colonel.
Now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, on 10 November 1775, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress passed a resolution stating that two battalions of Marines be raised for service as landing forces for the recently formed Continental Navy. The resolution, drafted by future U.S. President John Adams and adopted in Philadelphia, created the Continental Marines and is now observed as the birth date of the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah, Colonel.
And if I forget on the 10th to say happy birthday, Skip, it's because I intended to pick on you. I mean,
I understand.
And on 10 November 1865, during the Civil War, Henry Wirtz, a Swiss immigrant and the commander of the Andersonville prison in Georgia, was hanged for the murder of soldiers incarcerated in his prison. While both sides incarcerated prisoners under horrible conditions, Andersonville deserves special mention for its inhumane circumstances under which the Yankee inmates were kept. A stockade held thousands of men inside a barren and polluted patch of ground. Barracks were planned but never built. The men slept in makeshift housing called shebangs, constructed from scraps of wood and blankets that offered little protection from the elements. A small stream flowed through the compound, provided water for the Union soldiers, but this became a cesspool of disease and human waste. Erosion caused by the prisoners turned the stream into a huge swamp. The prison was designed to hold 10,000 men, but the Confederates packed it with more than 31,000 inmates by August 1864. I'm glad I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah. And on 8 November 1917, during World War I, one day after an armed uprising led by his radical socialist Bolsheviks toppled the provisional Russian government, Vladimir Lenin rose before the newly formed All-Russian Congress of Soviets to call for an immediate armistice with the Central Powers in World War I, and Russia backed out of the war.
They were fighting with England and France and their allies. I don't think they liked Germany so much as they just didn't want to be in a war. They had to reorganize and get ready to turn a terrible country into a worse country.
Yeah, I think Lenin, he just had other ideas, I think.
Yep. And on 11 November 1918, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War, World War I, ended. Well, the battle stopped. At 5 a.m. that morning, Germany, lacking manpower and supplies and faced with an imminent invasion, signed an armistice agreement with the Allies in a railroad car outside of Compiègne, France. The First World War left 9 million soldiers dead, 21 million wounded, with Germany, Russia, Austria-Hungary, France, and Great Britain each losing nearly a million or more lives. In addition, at least 5 million civilians died from disease, starvation, or exposure. November 11th was first known as Armistice Day. We now celebrate it as Veterans Day.
You know, I don't think people realize just how many people died during that time frame. It was just terrible.
Well, it clearly was the first world war. And soldiers, yes, but also civilians. Yeah, it was terrible.
And on 11 November 1921, exactly 3 years after the end of World War I, the Tomb of the Unknowns was dedicated at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia during an Armistice Day ceremony presided over by President Warren Harding. 2 days before, an unknown American soldier who had fallen somewhere on a World War I battlefield arrived at the nation's capital from a military cemetery in France. On Armistice Day, in the presence of President Harding and other government, military, and international dignitaries, the unknown soldier was buried with highest honors beside the Memorial Amphitheater. As the soldier was lowered to his final resting place, a 2-inch layer of soil brought from France was placed below his coffin so that he might rest forever atop the earth on which he died.
I like to say I'm a rough, tough Army Ranger and I never cry, but sometimes my eyes sweat.
Yeah.
That definitely gets my eyes sweating.
I know what you mean.
And on 9 November 1938, in an event that would foreshadow the Holocaust, German Nazis launched a campaign of terror against Jewish people and their homes and businesses in Germany and Austria. The violence, which continued through November 10th, was later dubbed Kristallnacht, or Night of the Broken Glass, after the countless smashed windows of Jewish-owned establishments left approximately 100 Jews dead, 7,500 Jewish businesses damaged, and hundreds of synagogues, homes, schools, and graveyards vandalized. An estimated 30,000 Jewish men were arrested, many of whom were then sent to concentration camps for several months. They were released when they promised to leave Germany. Kristallnacht represented a dramatic escalation of the campaign started by Adolf Hitler in 1933, when he became chancellor to purge Germany of its Jewish population. You know, I sort of take that personally because my mother was a German Jew.
Yeah.
That's pure evil.
And on 11 November 1942, during World War II, Congress approved lowering the draft age to 18 and raising the upper limit to 37. In September 1940, Congress, by wide margins in both houses, passed the Burke-Wadsworth Act, and the first peacetime draft was imposed in the history of the United States. The registration of men between the ages of 21 and 36 began exactly 1 month later. There were some 20 million eligible young men. 50% were rejected the very first year, either for health reasons or because 20% of those who registered were illiterate.
Well, I think we saw that while Europe was at war, we were probably going to end up in it, and we needed to be ready. So that was good planning. I don't know what to say about the illiterate.
Well, Colonel, one thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, with the obesity rate here in America, you know, if half of them back in 1942 didn't make the cut, well, how many could we field here in America?
A lot fewer. Okay, on 10 November 1964, at a news conference, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara said that the U.S. had no plans to send combat troops into Vietnam. When asked whether the U.S. intended to increase its activities in Vietnam, he replied, wait and see. Well, a year later, I was in Vietnam, and by 1969, over 500,000 American troops were in South Vietnam. So I guess we waited and saw, huh?
Yeah, well, you certainly did, Colonel. And on 9 November 1989, East German officials opened the Berlin Wall, allowing travel from east to west Berlin. The following day, celebrating Germans began to tear the wall down. One of the ugliest and most infamous symbols of the Cold War was soon reduced to rubble that was quickly snatched up by souvenir hunters. A piece of it stands at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum in Grand Rapids.
Yes, indeed. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
This is interesting. A man was sitting in his car at a Woodbridge, Virginia Lowe's parking lot when a man approached him and asked him for money, according to the Prince William County Police. The man said he didn't have any, and the man walked away. The same man approached a short time later and again asked for money, and the guy, age 25, again said, "I don't have any money." The man walked away to a nearby car and then pulled up beside the potential victim's vehicle. Then a woman in the passenger seat of the car reached through the window and tried to unsuccessfully grab a necklace from his neck. And then the suspects fled. Neither criminal has been caught by the police.
Thanks, Colonel. This isn't the usual type of crime that we talk about here on Frontlines of Freedom. Usually we analyze more serious crimes like armed robbery, murder, or home invasions. But today I wanted to switch it up a bit and talk about something most likely to happen to a large percentage of our viewers. Most of us can relate to this scenario, either because it's happened to us or we've seen it happen to others. Have you ever been asked for money by a homeless person or some other stranger? I know I have. When that happens, most of us don't view that as a life-changing event or a potentially violent thing that can change our lives forever. But here's the thing. Sometimes it is. I see two basic lapses in proper self-defense that we need to go over with this scenario. First, panhandling didn't used to be considered as a prelude to violence, but now it is. When a stranger walks up to you and asks you for money, it very well could escalate into a violent attack. He or she is asking you to take out your wallet or purse and to open it up and shell out cash. When you think about it, that's a pretty gutsy thing to do. I've had people get very angry with me when I tell them no. It's like they feel entitled to my money and I have no right to refuse them. Isn't that the same mindset that an armed robber has? You've got some money, I want it, so I'll take it by force. My advice to you is to be extremely wary of panhandlers, because they may or may not become violent. Give them a wide berth. Just tell them no and move on around them. Don't linger in the area. Don't show any sign of guilt, hesitance, or weakness. And second, don't spend time sitting in your car in a public parking lot. Our citizen in this story was accosted twice, and he still remained sitting inside his car for a third time. I understand that you have the right to be in that car, but rights mindlessly exercised aren't always good for you. A lot of crime occurs in parking lots, so spend very little time there. Park up near the store and look around for danger before exiting your vehicle. If you see danger, then just drive away. You can always go to a different store or just come back later. Be in a position to walk quickly into the store with all your things before exiting the car. Don't spend time in dangerous areas. The man in this story did a terrible job defending himself, and it was only blind luck that saved him. Don't be like this man. Stay alert at all times and don't spend time in transitional spaces like parking areas.
Well said. And I guess if you do, don't wear a necklace.
Yes, Colonel.
Our movie of the month is Mr. Overton. This amazing guy, Richard Overton, passed away in 2018 at the age of 112. You're going to love this movie. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. And I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Josh Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss the results of the election and some of the challenges facing our nation. Then Colonel Alan West will give his perspective on the election results and his concerns for our nation. Of course, we'll cover this weekend's Surface Academy football games with Quentin Roberts. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, remember to vote, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.